Welcome, and thanks for joining me today on Mortgage Manager Playbook, a podcast for sales leaders who want to improve their team's sales performance and originate more loans. I'm Pat Sherlock, your host. Today's topic is a deeper dive on fixing the broken sales model, and I have my favorite executive in mortgage lending, Jay Promisco, who is president of Sierra Pacific. He's had a long career within mortgage banking, starting back with Greenpoint and moving up to Stearns and now with Sierra Pacific. So hi, Jay.
Hey, glad to be back. Glad to be hanging out with you again, Pat. Thank you.
Well, as I said, you're one of my favorite because you tell it as it is. And today's topic, I think, really, especially when we're moving into 2025, before we know it, the Amazon impact and how that really applies to mortgage banking. Why don't you talk about that and then we'll move into a deeper conversation.
Sure. The Amazon effect is everywhere. And it boils down to probably three things that the consumer now expects from anybody they transact with. And you could be eating at a restaurant, you could be going to Sam's Club, you could be, you know, getting an Uber. Anytime you interact with the financial community, they want three things. I need it fast, I want it right now, it needs to be easy, and it needs to be cheap, really. And you're talking about something with what we do for a living, which isn't generally cheap, isn't generally easy.
Yeah.
Sure. And kind of hard to do fast. And so the consumer behavior is driving mortgage lenders to really rethink everything, and specifically loan officers too, as they interact with the customers. So,
well, let's get into my favorite topic about loan officers.
Sure.
Because this is the driver of the whole deal. And so it is still a relationship business. So talk about the need for probably a different type of loan officer.
Sure. I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth because there's this Amazon effect, but I think you can bust the Amazon effect in two ways. Number one, the loan originator, by the time you get a customer in front of you, you need to be exceptionally knowledgeable about every product available to you, how they work, why they work. And then you also need to be able to back to old school selling tactics, ask questions of the borrower so that you can make sure that you can somehow provide them a value add that they're not going to get from push button, get mortgage online loan application. Mm-hmm. So it's marrying the two skills where I can listen. I know you really want this loan, but I got some questions for you first before we get down that road. And you look at what we're talking about is this financial planning analysis that you're doing for a customer, and the customer wants to get it done in like 4 minutes. You're like, well, getting the customer to slow down so you can ask the questions, mm-hmm. so that you can put them in the right product, show that you have some value absent what your rate and what your fee structure is. In this new loan officer, the business really hasn't changed. If you can slow down the entry point of talking to that customer, explaining why you need certain things, explaining why you're asking certain questions, it takes some of the Amazon effect away. Not all of it. Now, once you have the customer in a position to where they want to work with you, now everything needs to be Amazon. It needs to be fast, secure, easy,
right?
Data protected, all the other things, all the technology, all the keys to the game, I think happen after the sale happens.
So if you're talking about the loan officer type, and I think in the past you would agree, when you go back to in the beginning when you were a loan officer, really the talent of structuring the loan was obviously the priority. Now, mm-hmm. would you make the argument, which I would make, is that we need influencers so the slowing down process will happen because they already trust you?
Yep.
And that's the part where I see loan officers struggling, is that they are not willing to be in the role of social media mavericks or whatever you want to call it. And they're not willing to recognize that the trust level doesn't establish itself unless you have been out there and are viewed as being trustworthy. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I want to separate two things. There's a whole host of people that focus 100% of their activity on being an influencer. Mm-hmm. And an influencer, you can't be an influencer without actually have experience in the job. So you can't be an influencer unless you've actually studied the game, understand the game, know what products you're selling. But on the same token, you need to be out there with something that is providing value. And a lot of loan officers fail in that. They're like, hey, I did this video, but two people clicked on it. Well, yeah, if you're looking for ROI on your first video, that ROI is probably zero. The ROI comes after consistency with some of the social media platforms over a long period of time. For example, you don't go to get your master's degree in your first day in the master's program, all of a sudden become an MD, right? So it takes a couple of years for you to get your degree and have that ability to learn. So I think people rush it. They get impatient. Loan officers do it for a couple of weeks really well, and then they don't see any return and they stop doing it. And so the inconsistency of the approach ends up being a problem as well. In fact, no matter what you're selling, it's like, who do you know? Mm-hmm. How big is your sphere of influence? And there's not a better way to increase your sphere of influence, because you were able to touch the entire world through a social media platform. If you're trying to do first-time home buyer seminars in your market, which is a really, really good idea, you're really only going to be able to touch that market. So I think it's the mistake that's made is there's a rush to do this thing online, and then they don't see results and they stop doing it.
Right. And so, but on the same token, from the lender viewpoint, the lender's analysis of how they recruit ties together with really just looking at production numbers. And of course, they're trying to evaluate whether that person is actually someone that could be an influencer. And you really can't tell that off of just doing two loans a month. So talk about, is it time for us to really make a change in who we're hiring and the types of people we're hiring?
Yeah, but data will tell you everything you need to know. For example, if somebody's been, and the data is better than it's ever been from a recruiting perspective.
Sure.
And back to marrying old school to new school, if I see a loan officer wanting to come work here and they've been at four companies in the last 4 years, it's probably not a good fit, right? Probably because I can assure you the other four companies they worked for weren't bad companies. It just didn't work out there for many different reasons. But looking at not what they did in 20 and 21, not really what they did in 22 or 23, what have they done for the last 3-4 months from a production level? Key level there, number one. But two, is there this young up-and-coming hustler that's willing to put the effort and work in, willing to learn from somebody who's been doing it a long time and really to apply the skills and be long-term in the business? We've had tremendous amount of success working with some new, I'll call it the Zoomers, where we, you know, take people outside the industry that are young, they're willing to work hard, and put them into a group to get mentored and trained and are doing exceptionally well in that. And I find they almost do better in some ways because they don't have all the war wounds and scars that you and I have from years of getting told no, years of failures, years of real estate agents yelling at you. They don't have any of that. So in some ways, ignorance is bliss. There is a whole component of the loan origination, you know, class that's been around for 20, 30 years. They're not going to be doing this 5 years from now.
Right.
Not going to be doing it 2 years from now. So who's going to come in and take their place? Companies need to be prepared to have some type of strategy around that as well.
Well, I can certainly testify. I mean, I've had one of your up-and-comers, and I would verify that certainly what I see is the same thing that you're talking about, that somebody 5 years out of the in another industry, they come in, they're basically tech savvy, are willing to do whatever it takes, and certainly are highly motivated. And as a result, they do well very quickly. And I think the stereotype that it takes very long to really have that person be successful is way off base. That's not actually what you see. And companies need to kind of recognize that. And so when we're talking about the hiring end of it and the recruiting side of it, which is really kind of the driver of our business, the last time when we talked about the P&L side of it, which was certainly, is the goal to be all over the map, and that's going to work. And the more places we are, geographic expansion, and of course, a lot of times that doesn't work out. So talk about is the, and I certainly still see it, that the idea is the correction is let's go everywhere and hopefully something will work out versus a model of thinking through, I want to have a high P&L with woes that I have, the others aren't going to make it, and we need to address it. Talk about the that issue that geographic expansion may not necessarily be the right way to go.
I think I talked about this last week at a conference where everybody wants to grow, but they can't explain the reasons why they want to grow. It just sounds
Right.
cool to grow. Why are you growing? Well, I could grow 10 times the size I am tomorrow if all I did was just lower my price to zero. I'd probably do, $10 billion worth of loans in a month, but I would lose money and have a bunch of tail risk. That would be a bad idea. I think lenders need to be more strategic in their marketing and the places they want to grow, as in what is the product set that they're exceptional at? Like, it's really hard for a lender to be really good at 10 different things, right? So when they try to do all 10 things, they get two of them right, eight of them not so well. They don't execute maybe on renovation, they don't execute on non-QM, they don't execute on conventional or gov. So picking a geography that's going to suit your product set, where you have enough resources that you're able to deploy in that market. And by the way, success doesn't happen overnight. You have to be committed to that market for a period of time. And lenders will enter and exit a market on an ongoing basis. And it's hard to get a foothold there because small communities specifically, they see you come in and out. You might as well just not go back to that community. It's probably not going to work. But clearly, geography is everything. Like, setting up in a market for us, personally, that's 100% high bal jumbo in a really concentrated metropolitan area is probably not a good strategy for us. Why? Because I'm going to get beat out by the banks there all day long. But finding this migration pattern of people, which there's data available, where are people moving to? Where are builders building new homes? Be strategic about that. And then really, we talk about this a lot here, this upstream marketing, like, well, I want to market to everybody. Well, yeah, that might work, but why don't we market specifically to a certain type of consumer first and then expand out from there? Because if you're trying to be everything to everybody, again, you're not going to have as much success from a marketing capability or even a recruiting capability unless you're really specific on who you're trying to recruit or who you're trying to do loans with.
And so, when you're talking about the recruiting side of it, and of course, our tendency in our industry is certainly to look at who's doing production, pay them a lot of money, and then most of the time they don't work out. You already talked about the younger, outside our industry type of individual. And so, this whole old model, to me, obviously can't be supported because it still looks like a purchase money market. The refis, if you look at the data that just came out, doesn't look like it's going to be a deep discount by the Fed. So we're talking about it is what it is, but lenders still are waiting for refi markets, and I see that every day.
Yeah, and you're going to see that too. I've already seen it where there's companies that have kind of been hiding under their blanket fort for the last 2 years are now going to
Right.
come back out and start doing refinance and take loans away from a bunch of hardworking loan officers that worked through the last 3 years, like just busting their butt. Yeah, so in lender, if you focus on purchase and purchase only in your shop and take care of your real estate community and your builder community,
Right.
this refi market will likely happen at some point, but just think of it. We really only have 2 to 3 years of vintage loans that are going to be eligible for refinance, and the industry is going to blow through that in 6 to 9 months. And so then
Right.
now what? Right. And so I think, sure, you need to do some refi. You need to capture that opportunity. Those loan officers that stuck it out for the last 2 years deserve to be rewarded in some way for the unbelievable hard work they put in. But you cannot lose focus on the purchase market, taking care of the real estate community, again, providing value, showing influence within that community, because that's a long-term success. Even here, everybody's like, what do you want next month to look like? I'm like, I don't care. I really want to see what the company is going to look like in 25, 26, and 27. That's what we're building for. And if you're looking very short term, you're not likely going to make it out of this thing because you'll, and lenders did this before. They got refinanced in, they forgot about purchase. They ended up not closing loans on time on purchases because they were worried about refi, and that was a mistake. And it's hard to get back in that real estate community that way. So you really need to have a purchase strategy and a refinance strategy, and they need to be completely separate strategies.
If you take the thought that you are sharing about the younger outside the industry person, which again, I agree with you is a smart strategy, it's also a less costly strategy than paying up for people that on average are only staying maybe 2 to 3 years at a lender, or some of them not even that long. And so, but lenders as a whole, certainly they see that their job is to give technology, to give capital markets expertise, and maybe some marketing support. But when it really comes to developing their own staff, that doesn't happen. I mean, they talk about it, and they say they do it, but they really leave. The P&L structure is supported by the branch, and therefore, if they want to develop those individuals, it has to come from the branch. Is that model dying, or is that model, well, it should certainly die if it hasn't.
It works well for some managers and not well for other managers. So there are managers, there are business owners who really know how to run a business, and then there's others that have no right to run a business. And so a P&L branch manager that understands how to run a business, how to deploy some of their capital, how to invest in their people will do exceptionally well in that model. And by the way, the company, whether you're working in that structure or another structure, has a little bit of an obligation to help them get better because it's going to help the company too. And so, for example, in our organization, we have that structure, but we also have a corporate structure that supports our the branch managers to make sure that they have what they need, and we can subsidize anything that they're trying to do as far as recruiting, retention, CRM work, et cetera. I don't think that model is dead. In fact, I think it is probably more attractive than some of the distributed retail models that don't have maybe P&L access, because now you're as a manager, you're 100% reliant upon what the company is going to do for you, and in doing so, that overhead structure at those companies end up being exceptionally expensive. And so are your rates higher because company infrastructure is so big and they got to pay for it somehow? And back to Amazon effect, it's really hard to be cheap, fast, easy if you've got to have this big, gigantic, huge corporate load weighing down on your pricing structure. So the companies that will do well are very hypercritical on their hiring, making sure whoever's coming on board, they're telling them everything they need to know up front so that the loan officer, the manager's not surprised once they come over. Oh, you guys don't have this. You told me you did, and that's turnover is exceptionally expensive in this business. And then I think one other mistake I see companies making right now is they grow, they grow, they grow, and they forget about the people that got them there in the first place. And I'm seeing loan officers leave and branches leave right now, companies that are big companies, because their company forgot about them because the newest, greatest, shiny object showed up, and now all the resources are devoted towards that. And so, all that being said, it sounds easy. All of this stuff to administrate and manage too is exceptionally hard at the company level because you're managing people, which is hard in and of itself. But keeping your existing staff happy while you're trying to grow in the right markets is way more complicated than it looks like. So.
Which leads us to one of my final questions, which is this whole issue that ties together with the quality of managing. This has been an industry that really hasn't invested in managers. And so, therefore, we expect people to be able to manage that they don't. In my own career, I was a GE Capital person for many years, or when I first started out. And in the GE world, you were taught how to manage. We don't really teach people how to manage. And so, why do we expect that they can manage? And that leads to the second problem that I see in the classes when I deal with the actual loan officers. They talk about their managers, and it's not very complimentary. In fact, they say they never even see them half the time. So that's another story unto itself. But I'm just curious. Managing is a key, and we don't typically invest in it.
Yeah, well, either a the only reason to have a manager is that they're providing some sort of value to a loan
Sure.
officer. And if that's mentoring, help them structure, helping them grow, helping them further their career. But there's a tremendous this mortgage business is famous for this. There's a whole bunch of managers who aren't operators. They don't understand how the business works, but they re really like getting an override off their people, and that's about it. And you call them, at least I see it all the time. Loan officers that come over. My manager says he's always busy or she's always
Right.
busy. I don't know what they do. And they're clearly sitting on a boat somewhere fishing and collecting an override, not providing any value at all.
Sure.
The other thing I see is a bunch of managers that don't even know how to spell 1003, never been in front of a realtor, never actually did the job as a loan officer. And they're here trying to tell a loan officer how to do their job. And so for us, the most successful managers that we have here are ones that have been in the trenches, understand the job that a loan officer does, did it with some degree of success in their career, and are trying to replicate that and find value in not just the override component, but watching their loan officers bloom and get better and create more volume. Those are the managers. If you're a loan officer, go find a manager that's done the job before, right? That's one of the key questions. If you're working for interviewing, have you ever been a loan officer before? Yes or no? The answer is no. How is that going to be helpful to you, right? And that would be, we're both kind of similar backgrounds. That would be me at BlackRock interview and say, listen, I don't even know what a bond is or a derivative is. Can I go work in your derivative department? They're like, no, you can't do that, right? Managers need to provide some sort of value, or they should go do something else.
I
I mean,
agree with that for sure. And
there's way too many managers in the business, way too many. So.
right. So let's talk about, as we're getting closer to 2025, what are some of the things that you're going to be doing as a priority going into that year?
We've spent the last 6 months really at our firm really focusing on after the sale mechanics and making sure if you get a boost of volume, it doesn't affect the rest of your organization. And that when I hear a lot about technology and automation and AI,
Sure.
I think none of that belongs at the front part of the sales process. That's what I have loan officers that need to be driving that process. I'm just adamant about it. There's views that, you know, that loan officer is going to go away. Everything's going to be a chat bot and just apply online. I'm just absolutely against it.
Right.
But where you can deploy technology in a way is to make that loan officer be able to, you know, talk to more people during the day. That's helpful. But once that loan comes in, that's when the Amazon effect takes hold, right? And so
Right.
integration between income and asset validation providers, and so that the customer has a simple, secure way of sending me their data without having to download like 4 years of tax returns and getting pay stubs and W-2s. Like
Right.
we're rolling out a fast track conventional streamline loan, which nobody does. And 100% of after the sale is automated, with the customer being able to effectively interact with us in a way that protects their data, gets me their data, automates it, and I can close loans in 7 days. That's where you create some value. So we're focused on deploying technology during the operational process and the back end. And the other, you know, key thing when you really think you talk in a lot of your podcasts about the broken sales model. You think about how many leads a year that a loan officer throws away. As in, well, I talked to that customer, they didn't qualify. Okay, so what did you do with them? Well, I put them on a CRM drip campaign and maybe they'll come back to me. Big, huge mistake, right? You need a borrower that doesn't qualify today. How do I put them on a track to success so that they can qualify and buy a home 6, 12, 18, 24 months from now? And that might be a consumer financial literacy class, like teaching them how to
Right.
budget, you know, putting them on some kind of course plan so that they can get in here and become a customer in the future. The industry throws away a lot of leads and doesn't nurture them in the correct way over time. So we're focused on that as well. And really, the other big focus for 25 is finding new, hungry people that want to learn the business the correct way. Because again, as you know this, Pat, this is a wonderful business, wonderful
Right.
industry. We get to do amazing things every day. And the more young people I can teach how to do that, the better suited my company will be to weather whatever the future looks like. This Zoomer population is going to do business with Zoomers. It's going to be that simple. In the days of 30-year veteran loan officers, very successful, they're probably not going to be in it for 40. They're probably going to be in it for 30. And so we have to groom this new generation. That's going to be one of our priorities as well.
Well, I'm excited about that you're committed to doing that, because I think that's the answer for just revenue reasons, also for expense reasons. And it does seem that lenders, it's really a competitive advantage because most lenders don't think that way. So anything else, Jay, that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
No, my one advice to anybody that has done loans for the last 3 years, and this is going to sound bad, I need you to protect your book at all costs. And what I mean by that is, while you probably have a CRM and you're probably sending people emails, the refi shops, the trigger lead people, the big servicers are coming after your book right now. Mm-hmm. And unless you're in front of your customers that have been your customers, they're not your customers if you're not in front of them. My one piece of advice in the next 2 weeks is to call every single one of your customers. Don't email them. Don't send them a flyer. Personal interaction will always win over digital transaction all day long. Mm-hmm. And a simple phone call, letting them know, make sure they know you're still here and checking up on them. Otherwise, some of these big servicing companies are going to be, they're going to pick your book apart over the next 6 months. So
I think that's words of wisdom, and I agree with you 100%. And unfortunately, some loan officers, again, don't really view it that way. And as a result, they don't realize that in the total picture, this is going to be devastating for them, because they can't assume refis are going to come back. They're not coming back to you. They'll go back to someone else, but they're not to you. Well, Jay, I want to thank you. You know, I love talking with you, and I think you have a lot of great practical, tactical advice, because I do think our world is changing, and Amazon Effect is really our day-to-day life that we have to address it. So anything else, Jay, that you would like to share?
No, it just reminded me that one of the worst taglines ever for a CRM, because everybody relies on their CRM, and there was this thought that you could just set it and forget it.
Yeah.
It's like the word, no, absolutely not. Like, don't think that way. Don't think that the technology is going to fix everything for you. And I'm still old school. If I was a loan officer today, I'd probably still be doing handwritten birthday cards and checking in with them, just because it goes a long ways. In this digital world, people like personal interaction. And listen, everybody if you've been in the industry for the last 3 years, it's been hard. There is a light at the end of the tunnel here. It's not a train right now. We should have a little bit more higher degree of success as we move into the next year. And I hope you all really make some hay while the sun is shining. So,
well, that's, I agree with you too. And we're wishing the best for everyone. And certainly I would suggest for everyone to connect with Jay, go to his LinkedIn. He certainly is a speaker well-known in our industry. Go to his sessions and listen to him. I think he has great advice for sure. So thanks so much, Jay. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to listen to some more Fixing the Broken Sales Model. Go to my podcast at patsherlock.com. Thanks so much, Jay.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Manager Playbook. You can catch up on all our episodes by subscribing to receive each week a new show. Don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and team members. If you're looking to increase production, call me to discuss my prospecting sales training program, Ramping Up Realtor Referral Sources. Check out my website, www.patsherlock.com.